The Redeemed Life Radio broadcast is a ministry of Redeemed Church, now meeting at Groove Nation Performing Arts Center, 3000 Columbia House Boulevard in Vancouver, Washington. Come experience Redeemed Church live this Sunday at 10:30.
Give thanks to God, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those He has gathered from every land. We testify to the work of His hand.
Hi, I'm Steve Livengood. My wife Shelley and I welcome you to the Redeemed Life Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Redeemed Church in Vancouver, Washington. The purpose of this radio broadcast is to bless you and build you up in your faith in Jesus. Now let's get right into this week's message. If you have your Bible, you can open it to 1 Corinthians 13, because this is our foundation text for this series, Choose Love. Today's message, you know, it's interesting because the past couple of weeks, I know that the series that we're on, but the message hasn't really come to me until like the wee hours of the morning. So like last night, you know, I've had about 3 days off now, and I'm just watching football and relaxing and enjoying my family and so forth, and I just decided, you know what, it's just not coming to me right now, so I'm just going to go to bed. So, but I'll tell you what, I woke up about 3 times last night with this word, marriage. Choose love in marriage, and marriage was on my heart. It was the Spirit of God telling me, you know what, what we're going to talk about today is choosing love in marriage. Wow. Now, whether you're married or not makes no difference, right? That's between you and God. We're all married to God. And maybe some of you want to be married someday, right? And so, or maybe you're married and God has a better marriage. The same marriage, but a better marriage. I better watch how we say that, right? Amen. Could God make anyone's marriages better in this room? I know He could make, and I'm not telling Him to make Shelley better. Oh God, if you just make Shelley a better wife, look out. No. Lord, make me a better husband for my wife. Now, see, that's the kind of prayer God respects and will hear, right? Oh, Lord, would you please fix my wife? No, He'll start with fixing me. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, 1 Corinthians 13, is that where we're at? Yeah. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Version because I like the way it reads. Amen? If I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for and in us. Now, this is a key thing right here. When we read, this is, you know, commonly known as the love chapter. Now, how many know this whole thing is the love of God toward people, right? But this chapter is commonly known as a love chapter in the Bible. But what we're talking about here is not the love the world talks about or me trying to conjure up my own love. This is about the power of God living on the inside of us. That's the only way we can love like He loves, is when He is indwelling us. Amen? So this is what we're discussing here. I like that term. That's why the Amplified, I like how it reads. Inspired by God's love for and in us. So let's make this statement. Say, I love based on God's love for me and in me. That's a powerful statement right there. That's what we're talking about. Because I'll tell you what, I can almost open up to any chapter in the Bible and just start seeing warts on my face. And what's the motivation there for me to read one more verse? All I see is something else wrong with me when I read this Bible. But what we need to see, everything, through when we're reading the Word of God or coming to church, it should be a filter on our ears. God loves me, right? And it's His love on the inside of me, Him on the inside of me, and that's how I'm able to love you or love my wife or, you know what I'm saying? Because I know my Father loves me. This is why He's had us spend a whole year on meditating on His love for us. Amen. Because if my understanding is deepening and growing of his love for me, that makes me a more loving person. Amen. They've done numerous studies on people or even animals that grow up with neglect, right? And they usually turn into some bitter people. How does a kid grow up learning to strap a bomb on their body and walk into a crowded auditorium and set it off? No love. That ain't love. That's devilish, right? Amen. And who is the devil attacked in this nation? The family. And how does he do it? Breaking up marriages, getting division and discord and strife and attacking the, whether it's the husband or the wife. If he knows he can get to the husband or wife, he gets the kids. Right? Amen. So we are making a stand. We're choosing. We're making a conscious decision to choose love. And when doing so, we're saying, God, I choose you. Amen. We yield ourselves to him. Verse 2 says this. Well, let's finish verse 1 first. If I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for and in us, I am only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers, that is the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understand all the secret truths and mysteries, and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, God's love in me. I love how it keeps coming back to that, right? I am nothing, a useless nobody. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned or in order that I may glory, but have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of evil done to it, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. Somebody say, love never fails. Amen. And we're talking about the love of God on the inside of God's love on the inside of us. Amen. Choosing love, that word choose, I did a little word study on it. And this is simply dictionary.com. How deep can you get, right? Choose means to select from two or more possibilities. And isn't that the truth? There's more than one option of love in this world. We're talking about God's love, Bible-based love, the love of God. We're not talking about the world's love or whatever. Amen? We're not talking about, you know, different types of romantic love or brotherly love particularly, right? We're talking about the love of God here. Amen? So we choose God's love. Choose means to select from two or more possibilities. To want or decide to do something. To prefer. To contend with an opponent. So the point here is this. Love is a choice. It's a decision to yield to the love of God. Just like it's a decision to yield to the love of the world. How many Christians, how many believers out there have bought the lie or compromised? Maybe they know better, but because of whatever reasoning there is, maybe it's a money thing, maybe it's an acceptance thing, maybe it's just a, you know, unbelief thing, a rebellious thing, whatever. They've chosen to redefine what love is. That's a choice. So these are the things we talk about with believers. Judas was in the inner circle. He was in the top 12. He was with Jesus every day, personally. How does this happen? Well, if it happened for him, it could happen for any believer. Any believer could so open themselves up to lies of the devil and deception that they miss it completely. So we choose not to. If I can choose to miss it, I can choose to make it. Amen? And we talked about how Peter, when Jesus was on the beach cooking fish for everybody, resurrected, and he calls out to him, Peter's the first one to dive into the water and swim to shore. Took the plunge. Well, how many of you have taken the plunge, right? Lord Jesus, I'm all in. Why? Because I love you, Lord, and I receive your love. I want the truth in my life. I don't want lies meddling in my life. I don't want demonic forces plaguing my family. It's more than just about me and my feelings and what I want. How many people, for example, in this recent election, just voted based on what they want and their feelings and their rights? How many other people voted based on their grandchildren? And what's better for unborn babies? See, you see, it was a clear divide. Clear. Amen? We choose love. Somebody say, I choose love. I choose Jesus. Amen. And just because you choose Jesus doesn't mean everyone's going to like you. Amen. When Jesus was born, there were people immediately that wanted to kill him. And all through his life, he had people wanting to kill him and get him off this planet. Even today, there's people that would like to wipe Israel off the face of this earth. Amen? So just because we choose love doesn't mean there's no pressure and no persecution and that kind of thing. But guess what? We just got to have God so on the inside of us. We're just so in love with God and so wrapped up in his love that stuff, we honestly just don't care about it. I'm just so in love with God. World, you go ahead and do whatever you want to do, but I'm serving Jesus, and I'm preaching Jesus, and I'm proclaiming Jesus, and I'm teaching Jesus. Well, that's too narrow. Jesus is too straight and too narrow. Yep. What makes you so perfect? I'm not. Then why are you preaching him? Because he called me to. This Bible is full of people that God used that had issues. Amen. But he used them anyways. They preached anyway. They prophesied anyhow. And they lived for God. Amen. With all their might. That's what we're talking about. Loving Jesus. We choose. Choosing love is choosing Jesus. Amen. Every day. Not just once. Every day. Multiple times a day. We fall on our face, we get back up again, right? I watched a lot of football yesterday, and there were a lot of guys that fell on their face and got back up again. And that inspires me. I'm getting back up on my feet and getting back in the huddle, or get yelled at by the coach and get whatever it takes. I'm staying on the roster. I'm on the active list. I'm not on the inactive list. I'm not going into early retirement. I'm not concerned about getting hurt. I'm going out there to play and to love God and to be loved by him and to love people. Amen? That's what this is about. Praise the Lord. Well, choosing love in marriage. Look at Genesis 2, if you got your Bible. We're gonna do rapid fire on some Bible. Is it good to preach from the Bible? Amen. Praise the Lord. So look at this. Choosing love in marriage. Genesis 2, 18 through 25. In a marriage relationship, there is no physical union closer on this planet than a husband and wife. So of course the devil's going to attack that. Right? Look at this. Genesis 2, 18 through 25. This is the first one right here. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, brought them to Adam to see what he would call them, and whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. I love how God created Adam and he gave him a job. Adam wasn't hanging around the garden with cardboard signs. Gave him a job. Yes, sir. I'll get right on it, Lord. And while he had his job, God was thinking of a way to bless him. Well, you know, yeah, he's amazed with the tigers and the lions and the bears, but he needs somebody for him. Amen. He could have said, I'm not alone. I got ostriches and crows. No, Adam, you don't understand. You don't understand, right? Whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, birds of the air, every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh in its place. To so many people, this is a myth. Well, if it's in the Bible, guess what? It's truth. Well, how do you know? Were you there? No. How do you know it wasn't? Were you there? If the Bible says that's how it happened, that's how it happened. Amen. Is God able to put a man to sleep and do surgery on him and pull a rib out and create a woman? Apparently so. Apparently so. Is God able to part the Red Sea so that thousands of people can cross on dry ground and then drown the people that are trying? Yes, apparently so. Right? The Bible is full of things that we talked about being too smart with no heart. That too smart people think is foolish. Well, God says they're foolish for not believing that he's able to do these things, right? So here we go. Then the rib, verse 22, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. Now remember, he's been bringing tigers and lions, and here comes a woman. Whoa! I've heard so many people say, that's where he said, whoa, man. Well, no, it's because woman means from man. But he probably did. Whoa, man. Yep. And notice, he brought the man a woman. Amen. This is what the Bible says. He brought her to the man. Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. This is a precious, precious thing to God. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. There is no shame in marriage. None. There is no shame between husband and wife. But turn on the TV for 5 minutes and you'll see some shame. I remember we turned on I think it was the parade or a football game or something, and this commercial comes up and it's like, oh, Jesus, turn it off. The kids are right there. It's like, where's the shame? See, the devil just wants to take shame and act like there's no shame. But guess what? There's shame. Sin, in sin, make no mistake about it, in sin there's shame. In the marriage bed, marriage relationship, no shame. Amen. Because it's a covenant between the man, the woman, and God. Right? Amen. It's a beautiful thing. Now look at what the enemy had planned. The very next chapter, verses 9 through 21. Genesis 3. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, this is after, you know, they ate the fruit that God said, don't touch, this tree is mine, in the Garden of Eden, and they did anyway. The serpent deceived them, right? And God comes looking for them like he doesn't know where they are. The Lord God called to Adam and said, and notice he's not calling to Eve. Where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Now notice, Adam said what? This is the first place in the Bible where it says anything about fear. Sin produces fear. The opposite of fear, the Bible says perfect love casts out fear, right? So where there's a fear problem, that somewhere there's been, something's got in somewhere, right? So we cover that with the blood and receive communion and rebuke it. Amen? We don't got to deal with fear anymore, right? But look here. I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. He's under shame. And he said, who told you you were naked? See, these people before the sin problem were covered in the glory of God. Right? The scriptures that talk about God was clothed from like fire. So they were clothed with the glory of God. But when the sin came in, all that went away. Now it's just them. Right? Embarrassed and humiliated. Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded that you should not eat? Then the man said, the woman who, you know, he's passing the buck. Here's where passing the buck started. Right? He's gonna blame his wife. The man said, this is our first little marriage counseling class right here, right? The woman whom you gave me. So he's blaming the woman and he's blaming God too. That woman that you gave me to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. And the Lord said to the woman, what is this thing you have done? Like he doesn't know, right? The woman said, now she's going to pass the buck to the serpent, right? The serpent deceived me and I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle. This is where the curse came into the planet, right here. There, it reminds me of a joke. Something Adam told Eve one day. He was in a bad mood, and he said, look here, woman, I wear the plants in this family. Oh, goofy, I know. Praise the Lord. Romans 7, 1 through 6. Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over man as long as he lives. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. Now, let's not just fly by that, all right? There are very, very few biblical reasons for divorce. So even Christians nowadays just divorce on a whim. Well, he's not spiritual enough for me. Yikes. Well, he isn't making enough money. Well, she's not this. She's not that. We need to be biblical people here, right? Not just blowing a marriage away because, you know, you lost that love and feeling. That is soulish, and that ain't biblical love. Amen. So we're redeemed from that stuff, right? And God heals, God forgives, God sets free. Christians who've experienced divorce and that kind of stuff, man, God's got a whole new life for you. Amen. This isn't, you know, condemning people that have experienced divorce in some way, but it's helping us to see marriage is a serious thing with God. Amen? And we need to stand for it. And if the one spouse just decides they're done and they fly the coop, well, that ain't on you. Ain't on you. Nope. Amen. But marriage is a beautiful thing instituted by God. But that's not specifically all this is showing us here. But in verse 3, so then while her husband lives, she marries another man. She will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, by my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. Praise God. What this is saying to us is we are no longer married to the curse. When Adam did that, he surrendered everything on this planet to Satan. And you and I were just by default married to him. But guess what? When Jesus came and died, literally all that curse died and was crucified on that tree, so that you and I now can have a better husband, A spiritual marriage we're talking about, right? We are now free from the curse of this planet, redeemed from it. How much of the curse should you settle for in your life? Zero. Why? Because my husband, spiritual husband, will not allow it. He paid for that already. Amen. So I don't receive sickness. Well, I thought your wife had some symptoms the other night, and so did you. Well, so? I don't now. I'm free from it. I've been redeemed of it. We don't accept it. Nope. Amen. We are free from the curse on this planet, and we're free from any curse in our marriage. Amen. Now look at James 4. Therefore, submit to God. There's that word submit. And of course, we know God is love, right? So therefore, we could say submit to love. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The word submit is defined in a few words here, and this is from the concordance. Subordinate. Subordinate to him. That's what it means. I'm subordinate to God. I'm subordinate. I'm below his authority, right? It means to obey. That's part of who we are. We obey.
Thank you so much for joining us for the Redeemed Life Radio broadcast. Check us out on the web at redeemed-church.org. You can hear many free full messages there and get info on service time and location. You can also correspond with us by mail at P.O. Box 1248, Washougal, Washington 98671. Until next week, this is Steve Livengood reminding you to keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon.